I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we celebrate a fashion milestone, the 250th episode of the TLC hit, What Not to Wear. That's in just a few minutes. But first, as we've discussed, President Obama gave his first formal State of the Union address this week. And while most people knew Obama's first year in office would not be an easy one, many Americans still hoped his presidency would usher in a post-racial era. Now, public opinion polls still show that Americans in general, and African Americans in particular, see his presidency as a sign that the door of opportunity has opened. But some believe it has opened all the way, to the point where they have lost patience with African Americans who are not achieving.
I'm not racist.
Well, I'm just tired of hearing black people complain. Obama's election proves it. It's a fair game.
That's the opening of a new documentary called Fair Game from filmmaker Mario Van Peebles. And it asks, is it really a fair game for black men in America? The film features provocative interviews with a diverse array of black male scholars, celebrities, and other public figures giving their perspective on that question. And it premieres Sunday night on the TV One cable network. And filmmaker Mario Van Peebles is with us now from NPR West. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
I should say welcome back, because we last heard from you about your last TV One project called Mario's Green House, which was about your efforts to go green with your very cute family. It had a serious subject, which is just how hard it can be and how much thought goes into going green. But it had a very lighthearted air. This is a very different project, and I wanted to ask what drew you to this.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, it's interesting. I kind of grew up with that sort of cool 60s. I'm with the band Mom, who was always on the, you know, sort of had an eco-consciousness, and then with my, you know, politically active, the risk of sounding Sarah Palin-ish, mavericky dad, who was always involved, you know, in what was happening, knew the Panthers, knew, you know, did the first Black Power film in the 70s, Sweetback's Badass Song, actually. And so I guess it's sort of both sides of my family. And really what's interesting, all these things actually interconnect. If you sort of treat the environment in sort of this mechanical, industrial way that there's a disconnect between man and the environment, it's very easy to treat people that way.
The film spotlights a number of dire but familiar statistics about African-American men: the disproportionate incarceration rate, the achievement gap, both racially and between black men and women. It isn't as though we have not heard these things before. What do you think you have added in this film that is new to the conversation?
Well, I think what is new to some degree is the time. You know, we have an African-American family in the White House. It's got a lot of folks thinking about identity and what's going on, and are we really post-racial? Is it now a fair game? And in, you know, one of the things we examined was tests where they sent out applicants for jobs. And we found that the white guy with exact same credentials as the black guy, except for the white guy had a prison record and the black guy did not, the white guy got more job interviews with that prison record.
The film puts a lot of emphasis into talking about the high incarceration rate and what effect it has on the African American men in particular.
Right.
But I want to play a short clip from somebody named Glenn Martin. He's an ex-offender who's now the vice president of the Fortune Society. That's an organization that advocates for greater opportunities for former offenders. This is something that I must say was new to me, having spent a lot of time reporting on these areas. He talks about the impact of having to pay huge arrearages for child support for men who've been incarcerated,
right,
who clearly, while they were incarcerated, were unable to earn income. And here is what he had to say.
When you're in prison, that don't stop. You still pay child support. You can't afford to pay it, so what? It builds up. Now you walk out, you owe like 50 G's in child support arrears, and you don't usually owe it to your baby's mother. You owe it to the state, and the state is not willing to forgive that. They like, you owe every penny of that 50 grand. So some cat gets a job, he goes to work, 2 weeks later, child support kicks in. He like, man, I'm not doing this. 60% of my paycheck going towards child support, and she not even getting the money, my baby not even getting the money. And then some cats just say, you know what, she did that. She put me in that situation. I'm not even dealing with her. So that just totally removes a person from even thinking about getting the family back together and doing the right thing and seeing if we could work it out.
The reason I'm highlighting this is he's not the only person to say that there are just sort of systems that are in place that keep people in a hole. And once they're in that hole, it's very hard to get out of it. But the question I'd have for you is, I can easily hear what some people would say to that. You're making excuses, and the trick here is not to get in that hole to begin with. What do you say to that?
Okay, so this is a very good point. And this is the danger with, you know, when you get folks like myself who can make a living directing, and that's great, but I got here because I'm educated. That's the truth. And I had a dad who you know, saw to it that I was. What happens is it creates a dynamic where people don't look at social responsibility. They only look at personal responsibility. Yes, as an individual, it's you've got to get up there and do your best and get out there. But I'll tell you what, my kids are going right now to a private school. They were at a public school for a minute. There is a public school, you know, not too far from us, that if you go to that public school, your diploma is worth next to nothing. So you could be the best kid at that school, and you would not be prepared when you got out to go to any college. There is definitely places in America where if you're born into that environment, your chances of getting out are really, really limited.
The film makes has an interesting conversation with itself about the role of Black celebrities in framing the larger national conversation about African Americans in general. But I want to play an interesting clip from Chris Rock that's kind of a response to the idea, or a challenge to the idea, that Black celebrity in and of itself is dispositive. Here it is.
Exceptional Black people have always kind of been rewarded. Martin Luther King's dream coming true is for mediocre Black people to live and succeed in this world the same way that mediocre white people do.
You know, it sounds funny, but he's very serious. He's very clear about what he's saying. What do you think about that? You think that's true?
I absolutely do. I think that there will always be, or Du Bois, I think, referred to it as a talented 10th, the people that will, you know, will get there. But the thing is, the bigger group of us, how do they get across the line and what's the shape of it to come?
What do you think you learned from this? I mean, you've thought about a lot of these issues for a long time. Like President Obama, you have, if you don't mind my using this expression, have feet in many worlds. You are biracial like the president, and you've lived all over the place. You've traveled quite a bit. Did you learn anything from reporting this film that you had not thought about before or known before?
I learned a lot. What I didn't know when I started it was how much mentorship meant. No matter what color you are, if you mentor some little boy or girl, you make a huge difference in their lives because they then model behavior that leads to success versus modeling behavior that doesn't. And I think we have an opportunity, and that's why Fair Game is a bit also of a call to action. It you know, if you've got money, you can give it. You can donate it. But if you've got time, and that's the biggest thing, you know, mentor someone. Mentor someone that doesn't just look like you. Let them learn about you and understand you and connect. And I think that's one of the biggest things I learned.
Mario Van Peebles is one of the producers and the host of the new documentary Fair Game. It premieres this Sunday on TV One. It explores the lives and challenges of African-American men in the Obama era. And he was kind enough to join us from NPR West. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me on.